Say that if you weren't here last night, go back and listen to last night's message. I believe that you'll never look at the cross again as a Roman instrument, but you'll look at it as a crossing over of the life from God life to us.
Amen.
Amen. Just like Israel crossed his hands and he put his right hand, which should have been for the firstborn, he put it over to the secondborn, and he put his left hand on the firstborn, and that crossing over signified the blessing went actually to the Gentiles. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thoughts that God gave us last night. Now this morning we're going to read from John 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me. And here's the key. Because I live, ye shall live also. That's how you see him, is because he's alive in you. And Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true identity, his true character, then shall you also at the same time appear with him in glory, in the same mind, in the same doxa, in the same values, the same opinion. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have witnessed in this day not only your coming down with a shout and making yourself plain through the body of your vessel, William Branham, but Lord, we also, since he is gone, and he's been gone for 55, 60 years now, Lord, we just pray that you would help us, O God, to understand that you're still making yourself alive. You are alive. You're still making yourself known through the vessels of your children. And so, Father, we know we're approaching the day for the adoption of sons. We know that we've been born again. We know that puts us in the family, but we've got to be the right kind of a son. And, Lord, we know that the right kind of a son is in the image of your firstborn son. And so you are transforming us by the renewing of our mind, and we are being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And it's the same life that you placed in your son by the cross. He died that we might live. And now, Father, help us to die to ourselves, that he might live again in us. Seeing that crossover, Father, that implanting, or as Brother Branham said, that injecting of your spirit into us and bringing and producing Christ in us, the hope of glory. Be with us this morning, Father, as we continue to examine this wonderful sermon by your prophet, William Branham. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're going to again read from the same paragraph we did last night, paragraph 105, where Brother Branham said, I can, I will, I do believe, I can, I will, I do believe. He's singing the song, I can, I will, I do believe, I can, I will, I do believe, I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. Just think, I'm determined. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. You believe that? I'm determined. I'm determined by the grace of God that I'll never stop until that something strikes me. Well, what is that something? That's the very life of God. I'm going up there to have hands laid on me. Now, God has never failed us. I believe the great physician now is near. I believe that God that wrote the word, I believe that God that made the sacrifice, I believe the token of God that cleansed us from sin tonight, the token his own life, is here with us. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. In a little while, the world sees me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. You believe that? I'm trusting in him. I believe that he will do it, don't you? Now, notice Brother Brown's quoting from John 14:19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye shall see me. because I live, you shall live also. Had Jesus not said, because I live, you shall live also, then we could not have a real understanding of what he's talking about when he says, the world won't see me, but ye shall see me. Because the way you see him, his very life, his life, is living out in you. There's times you do things, you say things, and you say, where did that come from? You know where that came from. That came from him. And he is dealing with our inability, or excuse me, with our ability to see while others will not be able to see. Now, of course, we know that to see means to understand. But it means more than just a cognitive understanding. It means to have an understanding based upon an actual experience of seeing. In other words, something has to manifest in order for us to see and then to understand. You know, we've studied the Greek word gnosko, and we know the Greek word gnosko actually means knowledge, but it means more than knowledge here. It means an experiential knowledge. It means, like Mary said, how can I be with child having known no man? Well, you know, she just went up and said, hi, my name's Mary, what's yours? And you know, you don't get babies that way. I'm sorry. But there is an experience that took place. And she said, how could I be with child having never had an experience with a man? And therefore not knowing any man. So the only way we can understand what we're seeing is because we have the Holy Ghost. Because the Apostle Paul makes plain the fact that if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you will never understand the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, he says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit, and there's only one the Spirit, and that's the Spirit of God, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. In other words, the reason, he says, you receive the Spirit of God is that you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Just look at the world out there. It's going insane. You know, all you got to do is just type in Google, or type into what's the other big one? YouTube. And just type in the word insanity or insane. And you come up with hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hits from the news and everything else. The newsmen are all saying, the world's going insane. Well, we had a prophet tell us, and we preached that about 2 months ago. Showed the insanity, showed the things he said would happen, and we're seeing them now.
Right.
The problem is, see, too many people are looking way down the road, and they're missing what's happening right now.
Right. Yeah.
I was having lunch with Brother Collins last week, and he said, you know, he said, I believe the sixth vision is already taking place. He said, people are looking for Hillary Clinton to make it, and he said, she won't make it. Boy, she does, it doesn't matter. But he said, when the Pope came and met with the President of the United States, they had their secret meeting, and he went to Israel before that. He said, this country is sold out to Roman Catholicism. And I've shown you pictures before where all of our biggity bigs, you know, and even in England, and you know, they're all bowing down to the Pope, kissing his ring. They completely sold out. The sixth vision has been fulfilled. We're just waiting for the seventh, and that's Russia to destroy. And you know what? We're pressing. We're putting arms in Romania. We're putting arms in Poland. And they say, well, they're only continental ballistic missiles, whatever they are. They said they're for defense only. And like Putin said, but it's just a flick of a switch and they become offensive weapons. We are pressing. He says the only option we have is war. He is talking it. His generals are talking it. Medvedev was talking it. They're pushing for a destruction. And you know what? Brother Brown said, God can't send destruction until the people are in the spirit of destruction.
Yep.
And the people, as never before, are in the spirit of destruction. As Brother Peter, we were talking the other night, he said, you notice, Trump has really been pushing now. He's the peace and safety guy.
Yep.
And they say with peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming. I just wonder if Mr. Trump, God bless his heart, but he's trying to do what's right. If he isn't the guy that makes manufacturing increase, that'll happen in the middle of the tribulation. That'll happen in the middle. That's what Brother Ram said. That's what the pact has already been done. And, well, he went over it. Pope went over it, made a pact with Israel. Come over here, confirm the pact. He'll break the pact. We'll have a man in the White House. I mean, I'm just speculating right now, so just forgive me. We have a man in the White House that could bring on the manufacturing to make an increase, like it says in the book of Daniel. You see, and all the Pentecostals are saying, God is going to put Trump in there to save this country. Let me tell you something. A vindicated prophet of God said, thus saith the Lord in 1956, this nation is finished.
Amen. That's right.
I don't care who they are. I don't care if they had visions. The devil can give you visions. You know that? The devil can give you dreams. You know that? He can do just about anything that the Holy Ghost would do, except create. Now, therefore this morning, we will study to understand what we're dealing with at the end time, that we will see Him while others do not see Him. In order to understand this, we must understand what the Greek word apokalypsis means, which is mainly translated in the Scripture as the word reveal or revelation. We have a tendency, however, when using the word revelation, to think only in terms of having a mental concept or idea. Now, this word apokalypsis goes beyond simply having an understanding. In addition to the concept of understanding, it also places an emphasis on the source and, of the understanding and the reason that one is able to understand. The revelation is therefore induced by an unveiling or an uncovering that gives the revelation life. In other words, Paul was killing Christians. And Paul had a revelation. What was it? Actually, the pillar of fire appeared, knocked him off his horse. God spoke out of that pillar of fire and said, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I've been persecuting the Jesus people. I am Jesus whom you persecute. Paul had an experience which brought about a revelation. You cannot have a revelation simply by having a great intellect. There is a way which seems right to man, but the way thereof is the way of death. It's God that comes through manifestation. Even Webster in the dictionary says, revelation, colon, divine manifestation of divine truth. There's got to be manifestation involved. Now, when the Scripture says that He comes to be glorified in the saints, revealed in the saints, what is that? When God comes to manifest in His saints. All right. In the Church Age book, page 13, chapter 3, paragraph 3, chapter 1. Brother Brown said, we therefore see that the unveiling itself is a stimulus for the revelation. Okay? The unveiling itself is the stimulus for the revelation, because the unveiling is the action that reveals. Once hidden, but brought into plain view, this is the essence of apocalypsis. We find Jesus speaking in Luke 2, verse 25-32, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit, in other words, sons of God led by the Spirit of God, into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people, a light to the apocalypse, a light to apocalypsis the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, the King James Version uses a light to apocalypsis the Gentile, which is actually to enlighten or to reveal to them. But if you will notice, the wording here lets you know that this enlightening from this light comes as a result of the light being prepared before and manifested openly to the people of Israel. A light is always thought of as that which manifests. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, I believe the light of God is growing greater and greater and greater.
Amen. That's right.
Among his people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because as that light grows greater and greater and greater in you and I, we are seeing a manifestation of the wickedness of the people who think they're hiding things, and it's very plain. I mean, just look at your politics. That's all. Just look at what's happening with Hillary. Everything's being exposed because the Bible says that, you know, nothing uncovered will not be uncovered. So, I mean, nothing covered will not be uncovered. In other words, this is the hour that everything is being made known. It began when God came down, revealed the thoughts and intents of the heart, and now the thoughts and intents of the heart are being revealed everywhere. Through their emails, through whatever. In fact, Brother Brown said from the indictment, and today the light of the gospel reflecting from a pillar of fire visibly among us, and this shows that the light or the message has a source in the unveiled presence of Jesus Christ among us. Now, Simeon had already received the revelation by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Christ, but he was still unsure of who it would be or in what fashion it would be. He did not know this until he came into the presence of Jesus Christ himself. Our examination then of the scriptures and of Brother Brown's quotes on this unveiling will hopefully allow us to see the difference between revelation as an entity of its own and revelation as it comes forth from this great unveiling. This unveiling brings into view not only that which was hidden from view, but it also brings into light and puts an emphasis on those hidden attributes and characteristics that are so essential in full disclosing the true nature of the person of Christ. We find in, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians, maybe 2 Peter. Anyway, it talks about the parousia of Christ and the parousia of Satan. And both must come into full disclosure. Both must come into full manifestation. And it says, and then shall that which be revealed. All right. So we are seeing the revealing of Lucifer, the revealing of Satan, his minions, in the earth today. And the whole world is actually beginning to understand who's running the governments. A prophet of God told us 60 years ago, he said, this government is run by Satan and every government in the world. And today now the people are wakening up. It may be too late. Because the foolish virgins come for the oil right at the very end. They're already showing on the different Pentecostal television stations the seven. They're talking about the seven visions of William Branham. Mm-hmm. And when they see these things, they're boom, 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 boom. People are going to start saying, wow. And they're seeing how evil, and they're all talking about how evil that woman is. And even some have had the courage to say, now he said, it could be a woman or it could be the Catholic Church. But, he said, it'll be a president, a vice president, or some great office. She's already had the great office. That's already fulfilled. She's already started about five wars. That's already been fulfilled. She showed that she's an evil woman right from the time when she was a 27-year-old lawyer. She was actually kicked out of the Watergate committee because she actually did things that should have had her disbarred. And the guy that was running it, he said, she should be disbarred. Had they disbarred her then, she wouldn't be in a position today to have done anything. She would have been of disrepute her whole life. But see, we'll just let it pass. That's the way the Democrats do. We'll just let it pass. Republicans do the same thing. We'll just let it pass because they're part of us. We'll let it pass. So the next thing happens, we have to let that pass through. Pretty soon their whole life is just letting it pass. Let me tell you what, the judge is here. Nobody's going to get away with anything. Second Corinthians 12 and 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the apocalypsis, there was given unto me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, when you witness, if you had been there to witness that cloud live, if you had been there and actually been able to see what the camera saw, if you're standing there and you saw things done, the eyeballs coming to the person's eyes and those kind of things that Billy Paul saw. Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure, God gave me something to buffet my flesh. To let me know, hey, you're still a man. Paul speaks here not only of the abundance of the revelation you received from the unveiling of the Holy Spirit, but this revelation also came as a result of the pillar of fire manifesting himself to Paul alone. Remember, the other men did not see the pillar of fire, only Paul saw it, and was blinded by it long enough for God to get a hold of him. Each of us, now they heard the voice, but they didn't see the light. Each of us who have come into the light of this hour have experienced the same thing, in that this word temporarily blinds us in a way which we must stop and re-examine our doctrine. This is why the parousia of Christ was so important. We see the Bible in a new way, and the word becomes alive to us, and we become established in the present-day truth. And Brother Brandt posted above his pulpit the words, on the little thing up there, "Be still and know." Because we must stop and be still before we can properly know and understand. My parents always, as a child, whenever they'd have company, they'd have a saying to the children. They said, children would be seen and not heard. You know, people let children take over the conversation and everything else today. But if children are seen and not heard, that means that they will learn by observing. Again, we see that Paul is not speaking of revelation as if it were his ability within his mental faculties to receive and sort out the knowledge and understanding. He lets you know that he received this revelation or understanding as a direct result of the appearing and unveiling of the mighty God before him. In other words, Paul didn't figure it out on his own. Paul was knocked off of his high horse. It was Christ that revealed himself. It was not Paul using his mental prowess and figuring it out. Now, Brother Branham has always stated that no man has a right to interpret God's word. God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. And then when we see this word coming to pass, those who are ordained to receive the revelation or understanding of this word for the season will also be able to see the manifestation that vindicates the revelation when it comes. One other thing. You will notice that Paul says he did not receive it, nor was he taught it by man. Now this lets you know that he was taught it. And the source of that teaching was the actual apocalypsis, or the act of unveiling itself. In other words, that pillar of fire and that voice that came forth from the pillar of fire is what taught. From the unveiling of God, Brother Ram said, God needs no interpreter, he does his own interpretation. That's why, see, you can look, that's why you can sit under the greatest teacher that ever lived and not learn a thing. Because the Holy Ghost is the teacher. It doesn't come by man, it comes by God. And God needs no interpreter, he does his own interpretation, he manifests it. And it gives the interpretation, God unveiling himself, oh my. Right in the midst of us, we see his great hand telling us these things, doing these things. Notice, God manifests it. From identified Christ of all ages, Brother Brown says, and until you come in behind that badger skin, until you get out of your old skin, your old thoughts, your old creeds, and come into the presence of God, then the word becomes a living reality to you. Then you're awakened to the Shekinah glory. Then the Bible becomes a new book. Then Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're living in his presence, eating the showbread that's been provided that day for the believers, the priests only. And we are priests, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, giving spiritual sacrifices to God. But you must come into it behind the veil to see the unveiled God, and God is veiled. That's his word made manifest. So how do you know that? You know, when the Bible says this, you know, as Brother Branham said, when the Bible says, it shall be light, or there shall be light, he said, you know that's the word of God, you know the interpretation when the light comes. A virgin shall conceive. When you don't know exactly what that means until the virgin actually conceived. You see? In Galatians 2:2, and I went up by apocalypse and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should have run or had run in vain. So you see this story further unveil or unravel itself in Acts chapter 15. And if you carefully observe what took place here, you'll notice that some men, whom Paul called false brethren, who were still Pharisees, at least in their thinking, according to Paul, because that's what he called them, had come into the message of the hour. These men had heard what Paul was teaching and thinking, and they thought he was wrong. And they had come down from Jerusalem to Galatia to set the people straight. They began teaching the people that they must be circumcised according to the law, which was contrary to what Paul was teaching. Paul taught the real circumcision took place in the heart, not in the flesh. Now, these men had some pull at the headquarters in Jerusalem. This shows that they had already organized by then. You realize that? So Paul went up by revelation to declare his revelation of Christ to the apostles. And the outcome was that Paul had the true revelation of what was going on, and the apostles were basically had no clue at all concerning the truth, other than God had sent a son. Now listen, that's what the message was. That's what they were preaching. God sent your son. God sent your son. They're doing it today. God sent the prophet. God sent the prophet. Mm-hmm. Paul had the manifested revelation to him. Because the pillar of fire said, I am Jesus. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God. He said, I am Jesus. It's Paul who tells us that Jesus received God's name. A name he received by inheritance. Paul tells us that. Of course, Jesus himself said, I've come in my Father's name. Apostles didn't have a clue. Paul did, because the pillar of fire spoke to him. He knew that was the same one that led Israel. And now he says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And put everything in perspective. That was God in Christ. Mm-hmm. Finally, in this day, the same thing. Many have only an understanding that God sent a prophet, but have no clue what really took place in this hour. And the reason they did not understand is that they had listened to the opinion of man rather than the opinion of God. As Alpha must repeat in Omega, this must also repeat in this hour. Paul did not receive his revelation, this manifestation of divine truth, from man. He received it from the very presence of Jesus Christ himself and all the other. And all the other apostles had to admit that Paul had met with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. The same can be said in this hour with William Branham. There is no preacher today that can say that they actually talk face to face with the resurrected Lord Jesus, except for William Branham. That's right. Now, from the mighty God unveiled before us, Brother Matt said, and I'm afraid that the traditions of the fathers, the church fathers, has hid this from too many people. Since the Holy Ghost has come in this last days, as prophesied, and the veil has been rent, too many people are trying to hang to their traditions of their fathers, and that's why they can't see this extreme joy and peace and things that the church has today. Yet it's in plain view of those who believe. He hid the word, the promised word of his day. Now listen, Pentecost is going off and they're doing their thing. You know, this Governor Pence, he's a Catholic. Did you know that the vice president running with Hillary Clinton, he's a Catholic? Well, but they claim to be evangelical. Not that one doesn't, but this one does. Well, Ephesians 3:3. How that by apocalypse he made known unto me the mystery. I'm sorry, but I can't understand how you could be evangelical, considered an evangelical, if you believe in Mary, the mother of God. Mm-hmm. How could God have a mother? Sure. I mean, your whole theology is just based on mysticism. But, I said before, the Catholic people are some of the nicest people you ever met. In this scripture, the apocalypse was Christ appearing in the form of the pillar of fire, unveiling and revealing himself to Paul. I just got to get off my chest. I can't understand how anybody could be qualified to be president that's a Hindu that believes in like a million gods, or that's a Catholic that believes in intercession with the saints. Mm-hmm. I can't. That's insanity. I just can't understand how anybody in their right mind would say these people are qualified for any office. Did you know that the early founding fathers, if you're Catholic, you weren't even allowed to vote. They didn't want you to vote. You know, Maryland was about the only state that allowed Catholics in it. And you look at the writings of the early church fathers. If they didn't want Catholics. That's what they came over from, to get away from all that stuff. Now, in the scripture, the apocalypse was Christ appearing in the form of the pillar of fire, unveiling and revealing himself to Paul. He then took this appearing of Christ to the scriptures, and God anointed the eyes of his heart to see that the pillar of fire called himself Jesus. It was actually Jehovah, the Almighty God of Israel, in another form, alive forevermore. Paul let you know without a doubt by this scripture that God had unveiled himself to him and not to the others, and because of this unveiling, he was able to declare the mystery of Christ. In 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul declares, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And the word godliness actually means God-likeness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, although Jesus himself I come back to the apostles in a body form in several occasions. It was through the identifiable characteristics of the pillar of fire that Paul was able to take the scriptures and show that Jesus Christ from Genesis to Malachi. That God does not change, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Paul is able to show the people that God used the body of his dear son to manifest not his son, but to manifest or unveil himself. In other words, the son declared him. That's apocalypse. Paul's epistles are not written about the Son of God. His epistles are written concerning the God of the Son. Now that might be something new to you, but read through his epistles. They're all about God. Notice in how he manifested himself through his Son. Notice once again how Paul lets you know that it was by and through the apocalypse of Christ, the anointer, living in the anointed one, that the mystery of God was made known. And Paul would not have known that had God the anointer, God in the pillar of fire, had not called himself Jesus. So the unveiling is what actually does the revealing. The unveiling then is what actually gives the understanding. The word revelation means manifestation of divine truth. No manifestation equals no understanding. Therefore, after all, how can an invisible God be understood without making himself visible to us? And the making of himself visible is the apocalypse. Revelation 1:1, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto himself, or gave unto him, to show his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, Brother Branham refers to this scripture in the message Revelation of Jesus Christ. He says the first verse is unveiling Christ. Revelation or the uncovering, or how the last age and the coming of the Lord was covered up to the apostles. They asked the question, but only one lived to have the revelation, and still he didn't understand it because the history was not yet made. In other words, God didn't interpret it yet by bringing it to pass. As we said in our study on the word parousia, the apostles were not aware of his first coming, much less the second coming, but they were looking for him to disclose himself publicly to the people, so they were looking for an apocalypse. Now notice also that Brother Branham lets you know, candidly, that you cannot possibly understand fully what the Scripture is telling you until God actually performs that portion of Scripture or interprets his word by bringing it to pass. That is why he never taught much on the millennium or on the New Jerusalem and other things that pertain to the future events. If they have not yet unfolded, then we can only presume, and you know that he said what he said about that. He said to presume is to venture without authority. Now, as we're appearing or perusing, and that's why Brother Bass said, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, all she'll keep still. She'll have what's already been said. She's not going to venture off into black holes and looking for this and looking for that, and what about this and what about that. She just said, look, this is what he said. I'm focused on that. And I've seen this take place, I've seen this take place, I've seen this take place, I'm focused on that. You see? Now, after the appearing of proofs, you got vindicated by bringing it to pass. And once again, notice the wording of this verse of Scripture. It says, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show. So the apocalypse is to show his servant things that must shortly come to pass. Apocalypse is to show. Unveiling is to reveal. To unshow is to show. Okay, from the revelation of Jesus Christ and now unveiling, the Greek word something that's been hid, revealing Christ. Romans 8:19 tells us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the apocalypse of who? You and I. Sons of God. They're waiting for the manifestation. That's what the King James says, the manifestation. They're waiting for the apocalypse. Well, I tell you, there's got to be light, and light and light. The use of this scripture is good in that it lets you know that it is not merely a revelation that the sons of God must have, but the fact that there is an unveiling or manifestation of them will set off or spark off the rest of God's creation. Amen. The King James Version uses the word manifestation here because it is not just a revelation, but it is also an outward disclosure or unveiling. Now the question we should ask ourselves as we read this is, what brings on this manifestation? We find the answer in 1 John 3:2, where it says, beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall apocalypse, when he shall manifest in his true character, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so our seeing him, our seeing the apocalypse brings on apocalypse. It's like when they charge, they take a defibrillator and they charge the heart. See, the heart's a big battery. You know, it's just pump, pump, pump. It's an electrical charge. But sometimes it takes a charge to get the charge going. It takes the apocalypse to get this apocalypse going. You understand? It is seeing him as he is that caused us to come into manifestation of what we are. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us we are transformed then by the renewing of our mind. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us that the actual process of the transformation comes by the renewing of our mind. This renewing of our mind brings us into the doxa, which is the glory, or the opinion, the values, and judgments of God. And we are changed from doxa to doxa, and from image to image, until we're conformed to the image. Finally, in Colossians 3 and 4, we see the very life of the Father, which has already come into the elect by the new birth, becoming manifested in his true character when he appears and manifests in his true character. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Again, in Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the apocalypse of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. It was kept secret, but then an apocalypse took place and revealed it. Notice the apocalypse had been kept secret. It actually made known what had been kept secret. Okay. Paul is saying three things here. Number one, there is to come a time when you are completely established. Number two, it will happen according to his gospel. And number three, it will happen in accordance with the revealing or the unveiling of the mystery. In other words, it will happen according to the apocalypse. When the apocalypse strikes, that's when you strike. All right. We know by Scripture that these mysteries will be revealed in the time of Revelation 10, 1-7, where we read, and I saw, there's your manifestation, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. Now remember, when it says, cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared, we go over to Amos 3, verse 6 or 7. It says, the lion roars, who can be but afraid? A prophet has spoken. You know, and it tells us it's actually God. Okay. Okay, who can but hear? And he cried with a loud voice, and when the lion roared, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be no more time, or time should be no more delayed. And I know that we're living in that no more delayed, because, I mean, this is already July. Actually, tomorrow's already August 2016. Where is this year gone? This time is no more delayed. When I was a kid, it seemed like the summer lasted forever. You know, it seemed like we'd go out and spend the whole day, and it seemed like it was a week. Mm-hmm. And today, you know, today's Groundhog Day. Every week is Groundhog Day. Got the same routine. Boom, boom, boom. You know, you get up this morning, you're going to do the same thing you did yesterday. You just repeat. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servant the prophets. Now notice this last sentence tells us that God has already said that he is going to do through his prophets, and we find it also in Malachi 4. But in Revelation 10 we see that Christ will reveal himself through a prophet, and that prophet will be declaring the same message Paul declared, which Paul said would take place in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, when he shall come to be glorified, notice glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Admired in them that believe. And other people see him in you, and they admire that. Man, that person's a Christian. Man, that person really seems to be just totally at peace, totally one with God. Now, from the unveiling of God, Brother Brown said, Father, we pray today that these, Lord, who are not yet through that veil, they're standing out there like Israel, they're watching, they believe, but they've never broke into this yet, to see that great Shekinah light, both spiritual and physical, insomuch that the mechanical eye of the camera keeps taking the pictures, just 2 weeks ago, caught it again. You're revealing yourself, Lord, the mighty God, unveiled to the believer, still veiled to the unbeliever. Unveiled to the believer, still veiled to the unbeliever. But unveiled to the believer. May they break through. Why is that? Why is that? Why is he unveiled to them and veiled? I mean, veiled to them and unveiled to you. Because you got the Holy Ghost. See? May they break through today, Lord, and see this great splendor of glory. May their hearts be changed before we even get back to the church tonight. May they all be filled with your Spirit, your presence. May the master take up the faith that they've got, streak it across the word. May the tune come back. Thou hast been ordained before the foundation of the world to believe this. Believe, my child, and be saved. We are sitting here this morning. And we have people hooked up throughout the world. I'm sure there's people that aren't hooked up with us, but do you realize we were all in him before the foundations of the world? Our source is him. That makes us family. It makes us more family than we were by the birth, the flesh-born birth of our families. From words of faith expressed, Brother Ransom said, it was God revealing himself to the individual. While others laughed, these were rejoicing. It was an individual revelation. And from the mighty God unveiled, he said, you can see the unveiling of this great and mighty one. Traditions has blinded the people again to these things. That's been prophesied. From unveiling of God. And you will see, if you'll just do that, break those old traditions of things and come to him, you'll see him standing, the mighty conqueror, the word of promise for this age made manifest. You'll see the mighty God unveiled, see him right among us here, unveiled, the mighty God, unconquered by the traditions. Brother Collins told me some time back, about a year or two ago. He said he was standing there in the tabernacle, and Brother Branham at the end of the tabernacle was dismissing the people. He said, now look, what I wrote here on the blackboard, he said, the angel of the Lord right now is writing it on the back wall, and about 300 people turned around and they saw the full light, and they got less and less and less and less, and it finally went out. Now, many people in that church saw an apocalypse, and they knew that was God doing that. But he told me, when we went out to eat, usually they go to the blue board, so a couple ministers hung around. And they got out a mirror, and they tried to duplicate that using a mirror on the back. They didn't see an apocalypse. It wasn't an apocalypse to them. It wasn't revealed to them. They saw the manifestation, but there is no link because there's no Holy Ghost. And you say, well, that's kind of being mean to those guys saying they don't have the Holy Ghost. If you challenge a vindicated prophet, I doubt you got the Holy Ghost. Brother Ram said, from unveiling of God, break through every veil of selfishness and every veil of unbelief and see the mighty God, the mighty conqueror unveiled before the believers. So what keeps people from it? Self. Self. They see so much of self, they can't see what God is doing. How many times do you have people judging others by the corruption that's in themselves? In other words, their filter, they're saying, oh, that person is evil, that person is wicked. Well, why? Because they did this. And I said, what was that? They didn't say nothing wrong. Oh, but they're evil, they're this and that. Well, are they? Or is it you? Looking through your own veil. 1 Corinthians 1:4-10. So that you come behind your own spiritual gift, waiting for the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read from the beginning. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything you are enriched, like fertilizer, in him in all utterance, that's logos, and in all knowledge, that's gnosko. That's experiential knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, means these people already got the Holy Ghost. So that you come behind in no gift, in no charisma. All right, that means spiritual endowment. It means ability to understand. Waiting for the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In this scripture, we see a great revealing of Christ, or unveiling, that is to come. And in order to become a beneficiary of this great unveiling, Paul tells us that there is to come forth a dispensation of grace that will prepare our minds for the enriching, like fertilizer enriches the soil, preparing the mind to receive these great unveiling, this great unveiling of Christ. We see this dispensation of grace also in 1 Peter 1, 10 to 3, 13. Excuse me. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end, because at the end there's going to be a grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing, at the revelation, at the apocalypse, the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Look, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be like those men that looked upon the apocalypses of God and see nothing. We'd be in the world, the seas, the cloud, and they say, oh, but there's two of them. Well, they don't even say there's two of them. They say, oh, that was a missile test. The little one was a missile test. The big one, they had no clue about. I've got the paper from the scientist, Dr. McDonald, right in my office. They'll look at that picture of the pillar of fire and say, well, just a reflection of a light. But his grace has prepared you to see an apocalypse. Many of those people were Paul. They heard the voice, but they had no clue where it came from. They didn't see the light. In Amos 3:7 tells us that surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealed the secret unto his servants the prophets. Therefore this unveiling will have to come through a prophet, but it will be God doing it. From the mighty God unveiled, Brother Ram said, I'm identified with a group of people that feels the Spirit of God. I'm identified with a group of people that knows he's unveiled, that knows he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and knows that this is not fanaticism. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm identified with that group here tonight, yet they're called a bunch of heretics, yet a bunch of fanatics on account of the Word of God. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them. That's you and I talking about. From the unveiling, God says, show yourself among us, Lord, as you have been doing. Ever remain that way until we're visibly before you. When the amorph has been changed and you become again son of man and son of David. We should be praying, Lord, show yourself visibly among us. Do something, Father, to let us know that your presence is here. Not just words coming forth from a pulpit. But Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. For man running from the presence of God, Brother Brown said, may all the great mysteries that we're supposed to know in this age, Lord, be unveiled to us, and we'll see the plainness of God, so that we'll know how to behave ourselves and act, correcting ourselves and bringing the members of our body into discipline to the Word, that we might know how to live in this present day at the approaching of Jesus Christ. When the apocalypse is, when you experience that, it changes you. You know the supernatural. God is a supernatural being. And where a supernatural being is, there must be supernatural. We're not fanatics. The people call us that. The world calls us that. Because we're looking for the works of Christ to be reflected in our lives. But don't be caught away by the distraction and the noise, just looking unto Him, the author and finisher of your faith. He is the same. He wants to live the same in you as He did in His own Son. From the trial, Brother Ransom is God unveiling Himself, bringing Himself down so that He was above in the pillar of fire, then He was manifested in His Son, Jesus Christ, and now He's revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. It is God who is above us, God with us in Jesus, and now is God in you. For the mighty God unveiled, He said, O great God of heaven, unveiling Yourself, unfolding Yourself, making Yourself known, the mighty King of glory. And from proving His word, He said, now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there, that could discern the thoughts of Sarah's mind behind Him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty. All right. So we find Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and apocalypsis in the knowledge of Him. I not only want the spirit of wisdom and revelation, but I want the apocalypsis in me. I want the manifestation as a Son of God to be manifested in me. I hope you all do too. Now the scripture tells us that the Spirit of God Himself is to descend with a message that will make us to know Him better. And in the rapture tape, Brother Bram tells us that the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18 is the message. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a message, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. One of these days, brother, this shout is going to move into voice, the voice of resurrection. This tells us the Lord descends Himself with a message, and Jesus told us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So if God descended with a shout, then it's got to be a declaration of Himself. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart, that's a shout, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So if God has descended from heaven with a shout, it has to be a declaration of Himself. We see in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We see that this message brings us into a knowledge of Him which transforms us by the renewing of our mind, as we see in Romans 12:1-2. And from the adoption, Brother Ransom said, that the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Just keep revealing Himself to you all the time, growing from grace to grace, from power to power, from glory to glory. Not fall back, but from glory to glory, keep moving on. Now, how many of you in here have seen Him move in your life from grace to grace? How many of you have seen Him moving from value to values? From opinion to opinion? All right. How about from power to power? That's what we're looking for. The power of an endless life. Now notice how Brother Bram ties Ephesians 1:17 and 2 Corinthians 3:18 together. From the 70 weeks of Daniel, he says, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in, revealing what day that we're living in, just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? Now here we must ask ourselves, what was there about Gabriel coming to Daniel that is to repeat in this hour? Well, it was one angel to one prophet. And Brother Brown, don't you know that it will be the same way, only this time that angel will represent the very presence of the Holy Spirit coming to one prophet. The 2 Thessalonians 1:7, we read, and to you who are troubled, that's all of us, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall apocalypse us from heaven with His mighty angels. It's been done. Many of the things that Brother Brown said are coming have already been. They've already taken place. Brother Don brought up the other night. The scripture says in Revelation that the sun will burn their flesh. It's happening all over the world. You go to Australia, in every corner, there's a skin clinic for skin cancer. It's happening all over, even in our northern country, our northern atmosphere. It's happening. If you'll notice in verse 10, it says, this unveiling will come by the preaching and receiving of Paul's gospel. Now notice also this revealing comes as Christ the judge, accompanied by angels, as Brother Brown illustrated by pointing out the white wig of the supreme judge when showing the Life magazine photograph of the cloud. The revelation of Jesus Christ said, but to those who know what it is, oh, what a blessing. What is it? A revelation. A revelation of who? Of the man in the pulpit? Jesus Christ in the last church age. Revealing himself like he promised he would do, it's a revelation. Well, if it's a revelation, then it's a manifestation. That's a revelation. So then you see why Satan is so against the book of Revelation. Anything that's revealed, spiritual revelation, Satan's against it. That's why he's so against the ministry today. And from will the church go through the tribulation, Brother Brown said, Jesus said, when the Son of Man is revealed from heaven, now let me close by saying this, that the Son of Man is now being revealed from heaven. Will it come after a while, Brother Brown? It is now. And I hope I won't have to make this so personal of this own meeting that your spirit within you, that given you by God, can read what I'm talking about. The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them his great presence, doing the same things that he did when he was here on earth, revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction. He has come now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. It's being laughed at and scoffed at. The next time he reveals himself, it'll be in judgment on the world and the nations that forgot God and sinned their day of grace away. Now, in closing, and I'm just, because I have, I got 21 pages. I got a third of the message left. I'm just going to close it here because I wanted to show you just the great grace of God and the apocalypse that's for us. The next time he apocalypses, the next time he reveals himself, we are actually caught up together to meet him, and then he reveals himself in judgment. Now, I can go through a whole list of quotes, Brother Branson, the judgments of the earth are now. The judgments of God are now in the earth. It's ready to begin. It already has begun. We are not seeing the tribulation, but we are seeing the beginning of sorrows. It's just around the corner. So my question to you is, have you seen the apocalypse of the shout? Is it changing you? And the big question is, has it come into you so that the apocalypse is now through you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that there are several things left, Lord. There's the conforming to the image of the firstborn son, and I'm seeing it already in your children. So we know that that's in process. Father, there's a manifestation of the sons of God to the world, and we know that that's also happening. Because people look upon you and they say, you're a Christian, aren't you? They see that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, Father, now we're just waiting. We're waiting to meet your Son. We're waiting for the resurrection and for that 40 to 50 day time that we'll gather together from all over the world. And that those that are alive will gather together, and then we'll begin to see those that have gone on before. We're looking at that wonderful thing that will take place, that little box that's going to be in the tent. And we know that the resurrection, the change of the body, takes place in there. And because you said that you showed your prophet the vision, people coming in, halted, lame, and everything else, and they were coming out completely healed. And they didn't even know what took place. We believe that's your spoken word. Just like you put clothing upon an invisible squirrels and made them come to life. Just like you brought back a gutted fish. And you brought him back to a whole fish. And he swam off. And just like you gave two little boys eternal life because their mother said the right words. Father, we know that the third pole is the imparting of life. And Lord, I'm asking for this, your people, your children, that you would help us, O God, to step out of the way so that you could impart life to our loved ones. And this we pray in Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, I Love You, this chorus.